band from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Rand Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHBO.
We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the people speak.
And good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff, and you're listening to The People Speak. And we have with us today in studio, Senator Terry Bryant. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks once again for having me this month.
A little colder out there than it was a couple days ago.
A little bit nippy. A little bit.
But it's January, right?
Yeah.
Now. Well, I know we've got a lot of stuff we can talk about today. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and get this break out of the way so we can get back.
Three serious topics to talk about from this lame duck session. So,
all right. We'll take that break, and we will come right back. You're listening to The People Speak here on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. And again, this is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Senator Terry Bryant. And Senator, we mentioned there's a lot going on right now with the lame duck session now through, but one bill definitely came out of there that's got a lot of people up
jacked
in arms.
Up is the word you're looking for, I think.
jacked
up. Yeah, yeah, Jeff, you know, this gun bill, anti-Second Amendment bill, there's still a lot of confusion about, like, what's allowed, what isn't allowed. I do some of my shopping at Rand Lake Sporting Goods in Mount Vernon, and I got a list from them that was issued by Zander's for the firearms that they can't sell to the sporting goods stores, right? So right now, I saw an interview with a guy in Marion who had ordered a AR-15, and I think it was an attachment to it, $400-something for it. Now he can't get it. And so, you know, that small business then has to refund the money, all while we're kind of in limbo for what's going to happen with this bill. So clearly right now the law has been signed into law. I believe you have 90 days to do something with your magazines that are out of compliance, 300 days to register your firearms that are on the list, which I still haven't seen a list from the state, seen a list of firearms that won't be sold to some of the dealers, but that's coming from the suppliers themselves. So there's a lot of confusion for people. But I would say this, everybody just hold on. There will be suits filed probably early next week by Second Amendment advocates. Those suits will be filed in federal court. We're hoping for an immediate injunction that says, hold on, because Illinois, you've just passed a law that's unconstitutional. We'll have to wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to rule. But as we were talking about off air, the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled on a case out of New York that generally referred to as Bruin. And I do want to do a disclaimer here, as I always do. I'm not an attorney, so I'm giving you the interpretation that has been given to me by attorneys. And I always try to put it in layman's term because I'm pretty blue collar, right? It's fairly simple to understand. One portion of it is basically that everybody should be looking through the lens of, does a law that you are passing violate the Second Amendment, which clearly says that that shall not be infringed. You have a right to own those firearms, and that right shall not be infringed. That's the first question. So if you're passing a law, does it comply with shall not be infringed or not? If it doesn't, you can move on. If it does, that's supposed to be the end of the conversation. In Illinois, there's a second component to what we have in our Constitution, which says something to the effect of, you know, except in the case of public safety. In Bruin, the Supreme Court has basically said, if the first question is answered, yes, it does infringe, you can't ask any more questions, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first part. The second part is all the courts have been ruling on precedent that was set like in the 1950s. So a court today in Illinois would look at a precedent from the 1950s and say, well, that court ruled that you can do this, 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 or you can't do this, this, this in regard to firearms. The Supreme Court has said, no, you can't use those precedent. You have to go back to the founding fathers. So everything has to be viewed under the lens of what was allowed in 1790. What was allowed in 1790? The militia had these weapons of war, which were muskets and cannons. Mm-hmm. The founding fathers looked at that and they didn't say, oh, you can have this firearm, but you can't have this one. They basically did not distinguish between what you could have is what was decided then was a weapon of war and what people could have, mm-hmm. right? So right. If you're looking at it through that lens, honestly, whatever the military can have, I believe is what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to rule that the average citizen can have, because that's the lens that will be used. So hold on, everybody. Don't go crazy right now. Don't be worried about what's going to happen right. with this. It will be litigated. Let this run its course for the next few days. And I would say to those sheriffs, I applaud the sheriffs who are saying that they will not enforce a law at this point, because we all took an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I know that you cannot parse out what laws you want to follow, what laws you don't want to follow, but the fact is we took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have to step in. So let's give them the time to do that. Right.
That's why I was saying, you know, having been in the military, having been in law enforcement, you know, the oath you take, Stacey, you are to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign or domestic. You know, you're being asked to enforce a law that's obviously unconstitutional.
Yeah, I believe any legislator that voted yes on this bill mm-hmm. violated their oath of office. Darren Bailey demanded, or I'm sorry, Neil Anderson, Senator Neil Anderson demanded that they resign because they're violating their oath of office. And we have a lot of legislators who are attorneys. They take us another oath, basically, that mirrors the one that we take as legislators. But they're even taught in law school that they have a higher standard than the average person because they're supposed to be defending the law. And so I would argue that attorneys that voted yes on this law have not only violated their legislative oath, but they also violated their oath as attorneys. And so maybe the organization that the Bar Association or right. Folks at that level should be looking at whether or not they have violated their oath as attorneys. But then we have two other things, Jeff. So I want to talk about the abortion bill that just passed. Okay. And there was a birth certificate bill that I think everyone will be interested in. So we'll talk about the birth certificate bill real
quick? Okay, sure.
Or do a break. You tell me. It's your show.
I'll tell you what, let's do the birth certificate and then we'll take a break and then we'll...
Okay, so this new law, which I'm not sure if the governor has signed yet, but the bill passed in the Senate, allows a person to go and change their original birth certificate to male, female, or X. Okay, now, why do I care about that? I care about it for two reasons, beyond what some other folks might care about it, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the two as a legislator I care about. Number one, we're all supposed to get equal protection under the law, right? Mm-hmm. Right. I was born in Indiana. I'm an Illinoisan through and through. My dad was building McDonald's back, in 1963. My mom happened to go into labor in Indiana. So I have an Indiana birth certificate. I can't change my birth certificate if I want to. My husband's from Ava, right? Mm-hmm. Born at St. Andrews. It used to be St. Andrews Hospital in Murfreesboro. He could change his. I can't change mine. I have one child who was born at St. Joe's and another child that was born in Oklahoma. So I have one kid who could change their birth certificate and another kid who could not. That's not equal protection under the law, right? Right. So there's that issue. The second issue is, we're sitting here. Let's suppose you wanted to expand some business that you owned and you wanted to get a woman-owned business grant. You could change your birth certificate to say that you're a woman. Apply for the woman-owned grant.
Mm-hmm.
You have not committed fraud because your birth certificate indicates that you're a woman. Get that grant. Start your business. Go back and change yourself back to a man again. No harm, no foul, right? You haven't committed fraud. You got the grant. Because the bill has no indication in there for the number of times that you can change your birth certificate. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's what lame duck generally is. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Someone come up with this idea, put it into the form of a bill and presented it, and then...
Yeah, and you know, and so there were a couple of the senators on the other side of the aisle that were saying, you guys come up with all these scenarios. And we said to them, well, yeah, that's our job. You're supposed to look at a bill and parse it out in a way that says, what's the worst case scenario that can happen? Because worst case is generally what does happen. We haven't even talked about the sex education bill that came up again. If you remember last year, the sex education bill that passed, at least there was an opt-out for schools. Well, guess what? 70% of schools said they didn't want to teach the new sex education standards. That made the sponsor of that bill very angry. So he came back at 10:30 at night in a committee during lame duck, and now is trying to make it mandatory. So fortunately, lame duck ended and that bill is dead, but he'll file it again. So we're going to have to watch for that again now to see if these new sex ed standards will be made mandatory. I told the sponsor of the bill and I told my friends who I believe very strongly in public education, this will be the one thing that will cause my husband and I to put a second mortgage on our house to pay for our grandkids to go to private school if they try to force those national sex education standards on our children.
Yeah, that, and like you were mentioning, the timing on that. I mean, it seems like a lot of those that, you know are way out there. And really, they'll throw those in at the oddest hours. And
well, you know what? It's not that odd, because what they do is they wait for the media cycle to be over. So you'll see those start a lot of times around 10:30. So as soon as the 10 o'clock news is over on a Friday, you get this crazy stuff. And then you don't hear about it until Monday. And by that time, a lot of the buzz has settled down. So part of my job is to keep everybody around here on top of what's going on as best I can.
Right. Right. So, all right. Well, we'll go ahead and take that break now. And we'll come back here in just a few moments, talk some more with Senator Terry Bryant here on The People Speak after this. Welcome back. Got a little time left here, about 8 minutes, talking with Senator Terry Bryant. And we covered the gun bill that is flooding the news right now.
Right.
And also the birth certificate, but a couple other bills out there as well.
Yeah, super quickly, I think folks need to know, because I want to spend a little bit more time on the abortion bill, but there was a new law passed that changes the standards for wind farms and solar farms. I know for Randolph County and Perry also that this has been a big issue. So they now, the state has now created its own statewide standards for where you can put wind farms and solar farms, and totally violates what Farm Bureau asked for. It, I believe it takes out local control for a whole lot of the issues. I voted no on the bill. They tried to sweeten it so people like me who have a lot of solar farms, or people like Senator Jill Tracy or Sally Turner who have a lot of wind farms, would have to vote on it. And so people at home would be deceived, right? There's a $200 million rate relief in there for Ameren customers. But the key to that is subject to appropriations, which means they put it in there to try to put people like me in a trick box, and then they can come back and tell ratepayers, oh, Bryant voted no on a bill that would have given you rate relief. But the fact is they have no intentions of ever appropriating that money.
Right.
Could not get a commitment from the sponsor that he had gotten a commitment from President Harmon, who happened to be standing right behind him while we were debating. And I said, well, can you get a commitment that this will be appropriated for people? And by the way, what about Nicor gas? What about people's gas? What about the co-ops? No, there's no money in there for that at all. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I can't get a committee. I said, well, President Harmon's standing right behind you. Perhaps you two can stop for a moment and have a conversation about this. But that didn't happen. So don't be deceived when they start telling you that there was $200 million in there for Ameren customers. That's a lie. And so now all of the folks in Randolph and Perry County who are trying to figure out where these can be placed, it's complicated even more now because the state has their own standards. And you at home are going to have to abide by those state standards. Jeff, the one I would want to spend a little bit of time on is this abortion bill that just passed. I do not care right now if a person who's listening is pro-life or pro-choice. I'm pro-life without exception. Listeners know that. But if you're pro-choice, this should offend you as well. So Illinois is now the most progressive state in the United States on abortion laws. I go to church in Carbondale. I have to drive past Choices, the abortion clinic that is open there already. Carbondale has two abortion clinics that are open and a third one that's about to open and two more coming. So that's the world that we're living in right now. This new bill has nothing to do with that. That's the standard. I'll keep fighting against that. Mm-hmm. The new bill now expands even on that. So it expands to the point that if you are a doctor in another state who has had your license suspended because you've done abortions, you are invited to come to Illinois now so you can perform abortions in Illinois and your license will be reinstated. If you are a doctor, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, or a midwife, come to Illinois and you can have your license reinstated. And they promise an expedited system. So if you are a nurse out there who's been wishing that Illinois would pass the nurse compact law that allows nurses in Missouri or Indiana or Kentucky or Wisconsin to come to Illinois, we can't even get that bill called. But now we have a bill that says if you'll come to Illinois and do abortions, we'll expedite your license for that purpose. And so think about that for just a minute. If you are a cardiologist that wants to come to Illinois to practice, an abortionist's license is going to be expedited over you as a cardiologist coming here. Our own medical students who are graduating from Illinois medical schools who are waiting to be licensed, whether you're a physician, a nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, those out-of-state abortionists are going to be expedited over your license. And we ask them, how do you plan to do this? Are you going to hire more people at IDFPR? Mm-hmm. That's the licensing body. I mean, we have people here, blue-collar folks who have been waiting for their cosmetology licenses. Not that doctors and cosmetology compare, but the fact the job compares to a job, right?
Right.
So you have these people who are waiting to go to work, who cannot go to work because IDFPR cannot get their licenses processed for them, but abortionists are going to go to the front of the line. That all by itself is a problem, right? So one component of that law, we hope, as I think this law will be litigated as well, hopefully going to the U.S. Supreme Court. Our U.S. Constitution says that we have to extradite people from one state to another. So if you, like, let's say the Idaho murderer that just happened, the explanation that was given when he was being extradited from the state that he was in back to Washington, you go before a judge, and basically the judge is going to ask you, is your name Terry Bryant? And if I say yes, my name is Terry Bryant, boom, extradition is done, right? If I say no, then it'll take a little bit of time, and they'll have to figure out if I really am Terry Bryant. That's really the majority of what happens in those extradition cases.
Mm-hmm.
This law says you cannot extradite a doctor back to the state where they violated that state's laws if they've come to Illinois to do abortions. So let's suppose a doctor's in Missouri where it's not legal,
mm-hmm.
and they're being charged in that state, but they run over to Illinois, they get their license reinstated. Missouri wants to extradite them back to Missouri to stand trial for their offense there. You cannot do that under this law. That violates the U.S. Constitution. So once again, we have legislators who have zero respect for the U.S. Constitution. And that's a problem. That's a problem in this country. And it's a problem for Illinois. So I think those are, you know, some pretty significant things. I will tell you this. I think I've said this before. People say, what do we do? Because we're all kind of like running around like, what do I do? The hope I give folks is you have strong legislators that are there right now. David Freese, Terry Bryant, Paul Jacobs, Dave Severin, Dale Fowler, Jason Plummer, Charlie Meyer, all these folks who are legislators in this region. We're working hard to bring out those little components. And, you know, I was, to be really honest with you, I was very disappointed in WSIL's coverage of the abortion bill, because they don't cover any of this stuff that talks about extradition or allowing doctors who have violated their own state laws in coming into Illinois, or the expedited licensing. They didn't cover any of that. So they make this sound like a really awesome law that just helps women's health. What helps women's health in this? Really what it amounts to is killing babies. There's nothing in this that has anything to do with women's health. Nothing.
Now that it's one of those where you go back to what I've seen before, you know, it's like, where did common sense go? Because there's a lot, lack of common sense in a lot of these.
Yeah, this is not, listen, I am not in a job that requires me to be a brain surgeon or a nuclear engineer, right? It's common sense. And generally, if I, a very blue collar person with a high school diploma and a whole lot of college, but no, you know, no diploma, I can sit down and read this and determine, you know, this is a violation of the Constitution. I'm not an attorney. The average attorney should be able to read it and say, yeah, gosh, this doesn't, you know, this doesn't match. And it's not like, oh wow, we really missed that. It was brought up in debate. What about this issue of extradition? You're violating the United States Constitution.
Right.
Totally disregarded. Just totally disregarded.
And I mean, this country survived for what, going on 250 years?
Yeah.
Because of the Constitution. I mean, you just start throwing it around like that, it's...
I, you know, we were sworn in on Wednesday in the old state capitol because the Senate is being refurbished, the Senate chambers. So we're not going to be in those Senate chambers for the next 2 years. We're actually meeting in the Howlett building, which is right next to the capitol, right? But they swore us in the old state capitol. I had to actually take notice of the fact that Governor Pritzker and Senator Harmon, and I like Senator Harmon, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but he was, they were standing below the portrait of George Washington. And I'm thinking, this legislature thinks that they're smarter, that they know more about the Constitution than the framers of the Constitution. They're standing below the portrait of George Washington and spitting on it. You know, figuratively, not literally, but honestly, how could you stand below the portrait of Abraham Lincoln and then vote on these egregious violations of our Constitution?
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. But I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon either. That's the bad thing. We're going to have to be dealing with this. And I mean, you especially, fighting against some of these lack of common sense laws that they're trying to pass, you know. And
well, we're going to run. So I know this is your show. I tell you that all the time and I kind of take over. I know we're going to run out of time here in a second. I'd like to talk about something a little more on the upside, right? So Christmas Eve, I got another set of twins, right? So that's, we have six grandkids now, 15, 11, those are girls. And we have a set of twin boys that are 8 years old. And we now have another set of twin boys who were born on December 24th. So I hope the listeners will help me in join me in welcoming Lucas Tyler and Clayton Blake Bryant to the world. Just love them. So happy I'm home. I miss getting to hug them over the last few days. So I'll be running around the district a lot today, but if you don't see me too much over the weekend, it's because I'm loving on some babies.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that will wrap things up, though. But Senator Bryan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we will look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again next time. Have a great day.